our public affairs program, Ask the Mayor. And Mayor, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
We haven't had a COVID update, and I know things are settling down. What's the state of affairs here?
Looking back after 2 years, I'm glad we're not having to do those COVID updates every week and almost every day.
You were here every day.
Yeah. Well, the good news is, as of Wednesday, we had about 49 active cases in Macon County. January and 1st of February, we were talking about like 600 cases. So we're really on the downswing with the COVID. Can't emphasize to make sure you have those COVID vaccines and the booster shot, and you should be in pretty good shape.
Received on Thursday morning the Sunshine List. We had just a total of, I think, about 200 written public comments. It's all about just people venting their frustrations or just their ideas.
Our town clerk, Gibby Shaheen, has been accepting those written comments, and we will have recorded those spoken words, and they will be a part of the public hearing record, as well as the written comments that were submitted.
And then everyone asks, what will happen next?
As we address those recommendations from the planning board, we will be having our town retreat on the 10th of March. We have a full agenda just on budget items like how many sidewalks we're going to put in, how many roads we're going to pave, what are we going to do in recreation and so forth in public works. So we will not be doing any dealings with those recommendations at the retreat. There might be some special meetings that are called to start addressing the recommendations, or we might begin that process after we've gotten the brief from the attorneys that we've consulted with. We might begin that at the next board meeting. So I think it's going to be a sequential process of reviewing those recommendations and making a final decision on how to change and modify the ordinances in the UDO.
People who have bought homes and then sold them, or just had someone manage their property so they never have to live here anymore, and they get the checks from people who come and stay here in Highlands. What are your comments on how this short-term rentals is developing?
You know, it's interesting. That whole issue has been evolving, especially around 2018. I started noticing the national advertisements with like Vrbo, V-R-B-O, and Airbnb. And it is now kind of changing the marketing strategy. I'm not on Facebook, but I hear a lot of feedback saying that this person said, one of the things that some people have been saying is that I'm exaggerating this idea of corporatization of this whole short-term rental industry, that we do not need to worry at all about corporations coming in and purchasing houses and just constantly renting them as short-term rentals. My answer to that is it is happening now. It is being promoted by corporations, and I came across two models just this past week that someone shared with me. One was that you can buy a share in this corporation which will buy a house, let's say in Highlands or somewhere, and with your investment, you also get the opportunity to stay in that house for a week or 2 weeks, depending on how much money you've put into the game. That, to me, is kind of like a modified timeshare to where a corporation is controlling the whole use of that house. There's another model, though, that I saw, and that is forget about the timeshare. You just invest in that house, and then you get a share of the profits as we continually use it as a short-term rental. I am concerned about that as a citizen of Highlands and as the mayor, that if we let our whole residential areas become nothing more than transient communities, it has a lasting negative impact on the civic life of this community. And I stand by that. We will have short-term rentals, but I do believe in registration, regulation, and in some places, restrictions. And I think that is a reasonable position for the board to assume. Now, how this is going to all shake out in the end with the commissioners, but I do think we will have restrictions and regulations on this industry in Highlands. And let me say something else, Steve. all the resort communities in this country are dealing with the same issues. Some of them addressed them early and thought they had this issue under control, and they're going back and revisiting and dealing with the same issues that we're dealing with right now. For example, Lake Tahoe, they're having the same discussion. Breckenridge, Colorado, Vail, Aspen, all of these communities are struggling with the same issues. I think it's kind of tied into not just short-term rentals, but it's also tied into an overall issue of housing and availability of housing. I was in Asheville this past weekend going to the Grove Park Inn to see a wonderful arts and crafts movement exhibition. They have collectors from all of the United States and dealers. Asheville's a wonderful place still. Had a great meal downtown, stayed at a wonderful hotel. They're dealing with a lot of critical issues about homelessness and affordable housing and workforce housing. When I got home, I looked at WLOS and they were talking about all those apartments that we saw going up in Asheville. They're going for about $1,800 a unit. And usually the unit's about two bedrooms. To service that rent, you have to be making well over $50,000 just to be in that apartment. And a lot of people that were interviewed that are in the apartments, they're different adults now sharing the rent burden because that's pretty expensive. But even beyond Asheville, the new units going up in Western Carolina cities are running about $1,500 a unit. It's not just short-term rentals. It's the issue of access to housing in all the cities in Western Carolina, the state, and the nation are having to deal with.
Yeah, who can afford these homes and then just jack up the rents? And that's what's happening.
Corporations now that are even buying up units, not for short-term rentals, but long-term, and they're controlling the rents. If you look at some of the major cities, rents in the last year have gone up 30%, and people that are working, they can't absorb those, even though their salaries might be going up. So they can't take that kind of a hit. We have a housing crisis. I wish I was the guru that could offer all the solutions, but it's very complex. It's tied into our economy, and we just have to do the best we can in Highlands, and we have to make the best decisions, not for individual groups that might have, you know, a certain perspective or interest, a vested interest. We have to make the best decision for the long-term benefit of this Highlands community.
Let's change some gears and go to the DMV.
Carl Gillespie, our state representative, and Kevin Corbin, our state senator, invited all of the mayors and county officials in this area in Macon County to meet with the new administrator of the Department of Motor Vehicles. To DMV's credit, the new commissioner and administrator and his key people were making a state tour of all the sites. And then they came and visited us in Macon County. I really appreciate a state official willing to come all the way out here to Western Carolina to see what we need. And it was a very productive meeting. Commissioner Tate was there, chair of the Macon County Commission. And we had a discussion, the need for better access for people to get their CDL driver's license. That's the commercial driver's license. There's such a need for people to operate trucks. Town of Highlands has that need, Macon County. We were asking the commissioner to think of ways that we can promote better access for people getting in a timely manner. It's only available in Asheville. So people coming in trying to get a driver's license, they're setting up appointments. This was kind of an outgrowth, I think, of COVID. You have a long wait time. The commissioner and his staff are trying to solve that problem as best they can. They suffer from the same thing almost all of us have, and that is not enough workers. They just use the Franklin DMV, and I'm going to put out the word for them, because they said if anyone would like to apply to become a DMV license examiner, they have that position open in Franklin. Just call down and say you're interested in applying for the job, and they certainly will take your application.
The fiber construction closeout meeting, any good news?
We all sat down. We had our attorney there, and we did what we call a closeout. In other words, we looked at all the outstanding bills and obligations that the subcontractors had, the contractor, what they wanted as a final payment, had a lively discussion. And at the end, we wrote checks. And everybody took the check and signed an agreement that everything had been satisfied with this contract. We have built that network. The cost of the loan matches the cost of construction. It looks like our cost might be just a little bit under what the loan cost was. And yes, there were delays from weather, supply chain issues with fiber, and COVID, but we were able to build that, and we didn't go over budget. There's a lot of federal money out there now to build new networks and communities. You got the money. Now you have to design and construct the networks. A lot of communities think, oh, this will happen tomorrow. It will not. It'll be 3, 4, 5 years before they actually have access to the network. We started 7 years ago. We're done. We're ready to flip the switch. Hotwire is working to get this system up for their commercial operation. They've upgraded the electrical. You wouldn't believe how many circuits they have. They're bringing in additional network racks. They've air conditioned the building. They've put in a generator for it. And they're working there, and they're having to bring in their fiber lines into Highlands. The next step will be that they will be going out and operating the network and soliciting customers. We're not managing what they're doing. They're a private business.
The fire department. Now, that building, I drove by, and the roof seems to be pretty close to completion.
All the heavy lifting items are pretty much in place, and they've stayed within the budget guidelines. Now, nearing the interior finishing and the exterior finishing, this is going to come in at budget, maybe a little bit under, and just maybe possibly a little bit over, but we don't anticipate any surprises. We are headed toward having 24/7 staffing like you have in cashiers now. And we were talking about the response time can be cut down by having somebody in the barracks at that new fire station. We have as many bays or more in the old fire department. These are larger bays, and we protect not just Highlands where we have a water hydrant system, but that fire district goes out beyond the town. So we have to have tanker trucks and everything to get the water to the fire. And then we will have things like training inside during the winter, especially for our rescue people. You know, we have a big operation with swift water rescue and rescuing people that have fallen off the side of the mountain and all those terrible things. We've got people that are training all the time, and they have to have equipment to get to those folks in distress. So I'm very excited about the fire department. I think it looks great, and it's going to be a great long-term investment in this community. And what I mean by that, 25 years from now, we will have a very much different fire operation and rescue operation than we have now.
You read a letter to the editor, and you have a comment about music and nature.
A gentleman wrote, I thought, a very poignant letter to the editor about the idea that we've got to get tourists always up here, get them in nature, and entertain them with music on the nature trails. And he made the comment, what's the problem with just having the quiet music of nature? The water streams making noise, the wind, the birds singing, and so forth. And I want to say, right on. We don't need to just permeate everything in this beautiful environment with entertainment venues and activities going on that are kind of disruptive to this beautiful, tranquil, natural environment. I've read some articles and things in recent years about health, wellness, and nature. The articles say the therapy for someone who has some health problem of just getting out and being in nature, it is healing and restorative. I don't want to see us lose that focus on this plateau. And I've talked about this before, and I'll keep talking. Yes, we want progress. We want economic progress. And most important, we want preservation. And we don't want to lose sight of preserving this beautiful natural environment. That's what people really want to encounter and should be able to encounter without always having some entertainment venue or event going on.